Well, good morning, Grace people. Good to be with you today as we worship together. I'm going to invite you to grab your Bible, and if you don't have one, we have one that you can use. So open up your Bibles. We're going to be hearing from Jesus today. We want his word in our hands and his word in our hearts. So if you need a Bible, please just raise your hand. One of our ushers will come by and hand one to you. And I always like to let you know that if you don't have a Bible at all, you do now. You take that Bible home with you and let that be a gift to you from us so that you can continue to have God's word in your hand. We're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew today, Matthew chapter 6, if you want to find that and turn there as we get started. We have come to a crossroad in the way of Jesus, where Jesus wants to make it clear that his way is not a leisurely way. It's not the safe way, and it's certainly not the cheap way. His way is narrow, his way is risky, and his way is costly. The way Jesus wants to show us today is the way of generosity, and more specifically, financial generosity. Now, why would we bring this up? Why do we want to talk about this? Because money is a spiritual matter. Money is a spiritual matter. And if you don't believe me, believe Jesus, because Jesus had an awful lot to say about money and finances. The Bible itself has over 2,300 verses on money, wealth, and possessions. Jesus himself spoke about money or used money as a metaphor in 11 of his 39 parables. Clearly, the way we think about, speak about, and use money is important to Jesus and his way. Now, let me be clear. Money is not the primary focus of Jesus' mission or the most important topic of his ministry. However, Jesus understood that the issues associated with money and financial stewardship are central to the way people see themselves, see others, and see God. And Jesus offers his disciples a masterclass in understanding this in Matthew's gospel. It was spoken to them and it's spoken to us today. So again, I want to invite you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to begin reading at verse 19. And I invite you to follow along as we read together. These are the words of Jesus. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pause there for a moment. Jesus is talking about stuff. Stuff. He's talking about your stuff. He's talking about my stuff. He's talking about all kinds of stuff. The stuff that we purchase, the stuff that we accumulate, and the stuff that we look for places to store. Yeah. You know, I've had some storage things that I've had to deal with recently. I went into my clothes closet and discovered that I got too many clothes. So I decided it was time to dig through one portion of my closet, pull some stuff out, and just pass it along. So I pulled this stuff out, and I started making a pile, and the pile looked like this in my bedroom. There it is, a pile on the floor. If you're going, well, gee, that's nothing, Pastor Darren, no, just be honest. This is only a portion of my closet that I cleaned out. I still have more to do. But I took these out, dumped them out, and then I put them on our couch downstairs, folded nicely, arranged by type. And I sent this message to my family, most importantly to my children. I said, it's Dad's living room closeout sale. Shirts, sweatshirts, hats, shorts, everything must go to you or to the Goodwill. Rock bottom prices starting at $0. Hurry before time runs out. Well, one thing out of that pile went to my daughter. She found a sweater that she liked, so she kept that sweater. The rest of it is bagged up. You can see I put it in a bag, put it out in our garage. It's ready to make its way along with some other things that we need to donate out of our house. Now, how is this a spiritual matter, this stuff? Because Jesus says it is. The treasures we accumulate and store are a reflection of our priorities. Because these things didn't just wander their way into my closet. I paid for them. I bought them. I went out and looked at something and said, hey, I want that. And so I gave some money to that. But the reality is, these things reflect our priorities because they show our heart's desires. And Jesus wants to make it clear, are we focusing and prioritizing temporary things? Those are the treasures on earth. Or are we focusing and prioritizing eternal things? Those are the things in heaven. Now, it's not just an either or in terms of the stuff. There's stuff that you need. There's stuff that you buy. This isn't to guilt people in what you buy, but it's talking about priorities. What's going to be first? Because Jesus understands money is a spiritual matter because it reveals what we truly value. If our money is going toward more stuff than we actually need, then that is what we value. Follow the money, and you'll find the desires of your heart. Now, it's interesting that Jesus kind of frames it that way. I mean, it would be easier to say, well, you know what? Find from your heart. You know, look where your heart is, and that's there where you'll find your treasure. Well, it works both ways, but I think there's a reason why Jesus starts by saying, look where your treasure is, and that reveals where your heart is. Because it's easy to just say, well, no, my heart is really towards this and towards that. Until you open up your check register or open up your bank statement and you see where your resources are actually going. Because that shows what you value, or at least what makes it to the top of the list. That's what you prioritize. Follow the money and you'll find what your heart actually desires, the desires of your heart. So now, how are these desires formed or malformed or even deformed in our hearts? Well, Jesus wants to go on and show us about that as well. Picking up in verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, this part can seem a little bit confusing. As a matter of fact, for a long time it was to me too. Because I thought this passage kind of gets inserted in the middle of Jesus talking about treasures and then him talking about God and money. And all of a sudden there's this thing about seeing stuff. But it goes to show that there's always more there as you keep diving into God's word. Because when Jesus is talking about eyes, he's not really referring to our physical eyes. He's using eyes as a metaphor for what we see and how we see things and how we see life related to things. And there's ways of seeing life that are healthy, and there are ways of seeing life that are unhealthy. Let's start with the healthy. The healthy way to look at life is a life of abundance, where we see life through the lens of abundance. The opposite of that is the life of scarcity, where we see things through the lens of what we don't have. Now you go, well, how do you draw this out of this passage, Pastor Dan? Well, the words unhealthy and healthy there in the Bible, the Greek for those is directly related to generous and stingy. So it's, do you see things through the lens of generosity and abundance? Or do you see things through the lens of scarcity and stinginess? They're two different ways of seeing the world, and they have a remarkable way of influencing how we live. A scarce view of life is focused on what you hold on to tightly. See, when we're living in a view of scarcity in life, the things we have, we go, you know what? There's not going to be enough. So I've got to hold on tightly to what I have because I don't want somebody to come and take it from me. I don't want a robber to break in and steal it from me. I don't want the wolves and the wild animals and the mice to come in and chew it all up. We find those in our house from time to time. I'm sure you do too. So we got to hold on to it. We got to protect it. We got to hold it tightly. But the way of abundance is focused on what you let go of freely. Hold on or let go. Now, it seems counterintuitive that letting go is somehow a view of abundance, but it is. Because with an open hand, you are not only holding things lightly, but your hands are open to receive whatever it is that God wants to give you as well. It's a heart attitude. It's a perspective on the things that we have, including the money in the bank and the clothes in the closet, the car in the driveway, all of those things. When we have a perspective of abundance, we open our hands up and go, you know what, Lord? Thank you. Thank you for that car that I drive. But it's just a car. It's going to rust away. And you know what? There may come a time where I get a different car and I got to figure out what I'm going to do with that car. And if I have an open hand, I go, who out there could use a car? Is there somebody I know who would be blessed by having a car rather than me going and trading it in for a couple hundred dollars or whatever they're going to offer you at the dealership? When you have an open hand, you carry it lightly. You go, it's not mine. It's mine to manage. I don't own these things. I steward them. They're gifts of grace from God to me. So I have my hands open to let go of things freely. That's generosity. Martin Luther spoke of it this way. He said, I have held many things in my hands, and I have lost them all. But whatever I have placed in God's hands, that I still possess. Again, it's counterintuitive, but it's so true. The things that we have, that we grip onto, that we hold on tight to, those things slip through our fingers. They go through the cracks. They rust. They break down. They fall apart. They're temporary. Are they useful? Sure. But are they the focus? Never. We open our hands open. We put those things into God's hands, and they're eternal. Whatever it is that we have that we place into God's hands is for eternity. You can never lose that. So how do we live this out? Well, now Jesus brings this whole passage into clear focus, starting at verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus is pulling no punches, and he's making it abundantly clear what he's talking about. Some people like to really over-spiritualize the passage talking about treasures. Well, treasures could be anything, Pastor. They could just be... Well, Jesus is right in this same passage talking about this stuff. And he says, you can't serve God and money. He's talking about our financial stewardship and our financial resources. And he's making it really clear that if you don't master your money, money will become your master. If you don't tell your money what to do and let the Holy Spirit tell your money what to do, it will tell you what to do. And money is a terrible master. It's a wicked and cruel master. If money is your master, it will tell you that there will never be enough and you will live in fear. You live in that place of always checking the check balance or always looking what's going around, always looking at what you have, holding onto it tightly and going, oh, there's never going to be enough. I'm afraid, Lord, that I won't have what I need. That's a place of fear. When money is your master, it can lead you into that place of fear. But out of that same place, money can also tell you to get more before it runs out. That's greed. That's just, let's just keep accumulating more and more of this before it runs out. You know, the marketing people have gotten this down to a science. You ever watch that ad that comes on and says, hey, here's the cost of this thing that we have for you that you didn't know that you needed until we came on to this commercial for you. But guess what? For today only, it's 20% off. But only if you act now. And you say to yourself, oh my goodness, dear, we got 15 minutes. If we don't, we'll never have this opportunity again. It's not real. But when money becomes your master, you start to look at things that way. Oh boy, I better get it while I can. I better hoard up enough of it. That's money being your master instead of mastering your money. You can't serve God and money, but you can serve God with your money. You can serve God with your money. You know, the Bible talks about money, and sometimes we mistranslate this one part, or we like to misquote it, and we say, you know what? Money is the root of all evil. It's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. Love is a heart thing. If your heart is focused there, yes, absolutely. Lots of evil, lots of brokenness, lots of tragedy can come from that kind of a focus. That's why God is putting these things into our hands and saying, hold them lightly. Let them go. See them through his eyes. You can serve God with your money. Jesus even says more about this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 33. He puts it this way. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. How do you serve God with your money? Well, let me give you some suggestions, because it says to seek first the kingdom of God by giving from your heart. It's giving and being generous. Money is a spiritual matter, so generous giving is part of your spiritual formation. We've been in this sermon series all fall about the way of Jesus, and some might be thinking, well, boy, this is a real departure from the way of Jesus. I mean, before we were talking about important things like prayer and fasting, but now we're talking about giving? Yeah, absolutely. Because the point is, the money isn't the point. And we don't give to impress God. We don't give so in some way we go, hey, you know what? If I give enough to God, then I've got one over on him, and I can be like, hey, God, I gave you this. Now you should give me that, right? That's not what this is. That's not what any of the disciplines are. We don't look at prayer and say, boy, if I just pray enough, then maybe God will like me more. No. Giving and being generous, just like prayer, just like fasting, just like any of these disciplines that we talk about, are things that we do to position ourselves in a place of surrender. To say, Lord, here am I. Holy Spirit, come and do the work in me that you desire to do. Because it's about you. It's not about me. And I just want to position myself to be formed by you. When money is our master, we're letting money set the agenda. We're letting money and the way that we handle it, we're letting that form us or deform us. But when we take what we have and we place it into God's hands and we offer ourselves And part of our offering is what we have and what we earn financially in this life. We go to God and we say, Lord, I'm just here to offer it to you. And now, Lord, shape my heart, change my heart, transform me by the power of the Holy Spirit so that I can become more and more like Jesus. Generous giving is a part of your spiritual formation. So, let's talk about some ways to give. First off, let's talk about giving to your church. Giving to the church. Well, why would we give to the church? Well, because giving is an act of worship. Giving is an act of worship. It's a part of the way that we honor and praise God. Unfortunately, sometimes in our mind, we like take it out of that context. We're like, oh, we come to church and we pray together and then we sing together and then, oh, and we listen to God's word together and, oh, and then they're going to take some time where they're going to go, okay, yeah, now it's time to give you some money. And we go, oh, okay, all right, pull out the wallet. And say, okay, fine, oh, scan the code. Yep, all right. No, it's meant to be an act of worship. It's part of worship. It's a beautiful part of worship. It's part of what shapes us as followers of Jesus. So giving regularly in worship is just part of that being the body together and being community together and honoring God together. Lord, I honor you with this as well, with everything that I have, because everything I have comes from you. So give to your church. And then, of course, give to your community. Look for the needs around you. You don't have to look far and you'll find them. As a matter of fact, after talking about this at our last service, I'm so blessed because someone came up to me and wants to remain anonymous and just said, hey, Pastor, you know, I've got a car and it doesn't look real great, but it runs great. And it's just sitting there. Do you think you know anybody who might need one? Hey, if you do, let me know, because somebody has one. That's having a generous heart with the stuff that we have, with the stuff that we buy, with the money that we have, looking for needs and saying, Lord, how from what you have given me can I give back? Can I respond to those gifts by looking for the needs around me? So here's my challenge for you today. Three parts to this challenge. First one is this. If you've never given a financial gift to the church, today would be a great day to start. Now you might go, oh boy, here we go, Pastor. You know, you want me to dig into my wallet and to do something. I'm just inviting you into discipleship. It's not about the money. Jesus doesn't need your money. Jesus wants your heart. So if you've never taken that step before, take that step today. The amount isn't important. That's between you and God. But look at it and go, Lord, what could I do today? If you've never done it before, and I know there are people in this room who come into that category, take a step today. Take a step of faith. Step into that work and part of your discipleship as the Lord does his work in you. Then, if you've been given regularly, thank you. Thank you. God bless you. But some who give regularly haven't really taken into account whether it's my first priority. So I'm going to challenge you to look at your giving and say, what do I give first? What do I make sure that I'm giving first to the Lord? Maybe it's stepping from giving every once in a while to giving every week. Maybe it's looking at what you're giving and saying, you know what? Lord, I've been giving what's left. It's the last thing on my agenda rather than the first thing. Look at that and then look at your giving and say, maybe it's time for a change. Maybe it's time to step in to that place of making it a priority. Those are two challenges that I'm giving you. And a third is to look for those needs around you. Look for those needs around you. Friends, like I said, Jesus doesn't need your money. He wants your heart. And when your heart is drawn to people and to situations and to circumstances around you, look for them and look for ways that you can say, Lord, I'm just asking, am I supposed to be part of the resource? Because you're the source of everything. to bless and help that person? Just ask yourself that question. Put yourself in that posture before the Lord. And let me finish with this. Listen, your wealth is not a measure of your worth. Your net worth doesn't equal your value before God. Never, never. You are a beautiful and wonderful part of God's family, and you are invaluable and precious to Him. So I didn't do this last service, and the Lord really convicted me just while we were here together, and I went, whoa, I really need to do that because I really want you to hear this. If you are in the place where you're going, I have a need right now. I am struggling. I want you to reach out to me and to our congregational leadership. And no shame. Just come and say, I have a need. Is there some way, maybe in this window of time, that the church can help? We want to be generous as a congregation, inwardly and outwardly. Let's step into this place. Let's move towards generosity, a generosity that reflects the heart of Jesus, the heart where our treasure should always be. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, that we honor you as the source of everything in our lives. And you have given us the gift of partnering with you and being a resource to the world around us, not to impress you, Jesus, but to bless others, to bless those who have needs, to bless those who have spiritual needs and don't even know it. And that perhaps through a meeting of some of those physical needs, we will speak Jesus to them and be Jesus to them. Lord, give us generous hearts to give back to you from the storehouse that you have given to us. We pray all this, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Amen.